Vegas Nation Podcast is powered by our friends Sam and Ash Injury Law. Give them a call at 702-820-1234 or visit samandash.com because you deserve what's right.
Las Vegas is a place where working the system can get you in serious trouble. I'm looking at you, card counters.
But why not go after the system in a positive way? At Sam & Ash, we provide that with the best personal injury representation.
And as a former insurance defense attorney, I know their tricks, and we use that to your advantage.
With our compassionate yet tenacious drive, we'll get you the maximum settlement that you deserve.
So call us anytime at 702-820-1234.
Or visit samandash.com.
Because you deserve what's right.
Abner Mares is a world champion boxer, Olympian, sports commentator, and most importantly, dad to two little girls. Beloved by abuelas and hardcore fans alike, Abner is a pro at entertaining the world both in and out of the ring. On Blue Wire's new podcast, On the Hook with Abner Mares, we will hear from Abner, his family, fellow athletes, and other people who made him the boxer and the man he is. They'll talk about Abner's journey from a kid on the streets to a boxing champ, sports, music, culture, and family life. Listen to On the Hook with Abner Mares wherever you get your podcasts. Episodes in English out on Tuesdays and episodes in Spanish out on Wednesdays.
You're listening to Vegas Nation. It's Wednesday, which means it's time for takeaways with me, Heidi Fang. Hey everybody, it's Heidi Fang here with a special edition of Takeaways, the podcast that usually comes to you on Wednesday, but I was able on Thursday to speak with Mike Tirico of NBC, and I wanted to make sure that I got this interview out to everybody ahead of the Raiders and the Buccaneers game, which NBC was originally expected to air, as it was a Sunday night contest, as was intended, but just today, after I spoke with Mike Tirico, maybe just about 2 hours later, the information came out that the Raiders game would be flexed to Sunday at 1 p.m. And though I'm hearing reports that that may not even still be a definite time, as we're awaiting to see what happens with the Raiders offensive line, as all starters were sent home this week on Wednesday after Trent Brown had tested positive, and for contact tracing, they also had to send Jonathan Abram home. So the Raiders right now, it's uncertain what's going to happen with all of these players and how this will pan out and where this game will fall, but we will keep you updated on VegasNation.com as always. And this special edition podcast is brought to you by Sam & Ash Injury Law and also presented by Pepsi, Indeed, and Favor. DrinkAFavor.com. So everybody, I'm going to get started here talking with Mike Tirico, and we spoke again about everything that he knew about John Gruden from their past, things that happened with them on the road with Monday Night Football. So we're going to get things started here with none other than Mike Tirico. It's Heidi Fang here, and I'm joined with Mike Tirico, NBC Sports' own, who will be joining us on the broadcast Raiders versus Buccaneers. So, Mike, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Heidi. It's good to be with you. Excited to see this matchup. It just sounds weird, Vegas and Tampa, but when you talk Raiders-Bucks, it's certainly got a lot of energy to it. We're excited for this game.
Yeah, speaking of energy, you worked with John Gruden, obviously, for years in the Monday Night Football booth. So you know about the energy that he's going to bring to this game. As a coach, what do you think that this feeling would be like for Gruden, knowing how you know him on such a personal level?
Well, it's definitely not three times if you're with me and do you love football kind of game, you know, for John. This is about so much of what he's been about over the years, as I'm sure a lot of folks know, obviously the Raider connection and the Bucks connection as a coach. But John went back to Tampa after he stopped coaching the Bucks and was living there. So he's really been a big part of the community. He and his wife, Cindy, have been a part of so many things in that Tampa area. So many of their friends are there. John did a lot of philanthropical stuff. Moffitt Cancer Hospital comes to mind. So he really has deep roots in the organization. And even going back to his dad, being a part of the Bucs organization, his dad helping the current Bucs coach get his first opportunity in the coaching world. It's a great, strange story that you have there. So there are so many different emotional pulls here. You know, John's really great about compartmentalizing and putting that stuff to the side. But there's no doubt that playing the Bucs and going up against the Bucs is a little bit of an inspiration and a terrific backdrop for this game.
In all the years that you worked with him in the commentary booth, did you feel that he was able to compartmentalize his feelings as being a coach, as a former coach, and somebody that he had always kind of said when he got into commentary that he wanted to go back to coaching? Did you feel that he was able to compartmentalize those feelings when he was calling the Raider games or the Bucks games?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I think the hardest games of those, which is a real reason I feel comfortable saying that John will be compartmentalizing his emotions and his feelings in this game, is going back to call the games where his brother was the play caller when Jay was the offensive coordinator with Cincinnati, and then when Jay was the head coach with Washington. That was as emotional as you could get, because here's somebody who, not just a brother, but so close because they're run in football and having so many common conversations about the game on a regular basis. Yet he was able to get on the air in front of millions of people and keep everything emotionally compartmentalized, even be critical of his brother at times during the game. So I've seen it firsthand standing a couple of feet away for about 6 years when Jay was the coordinator with the Bengals and then the head coach with Washington. And John's certainly able to take the emotional part, remove it, because the most important thing to do is your next play, your next snap. Who has to replace the L2 on kickoff coverage because there's been an injury, all that stuff. So the emotional stuff, that happens when you talk about it. The emotional stuff happens before the game. But during the game, it's not that. If anything, I think that emotion drives you to do your absolute best at making sure no detail has been left on the side of the road.
Well, when we come down to the details here in this game, we're looking at a 43-year-old quarterback in Tom Brady taking the helm here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I mean, it's really something to see what he's been able to do with his career. How do you put this one when you look at it on paper, Tom Brady against the Raiders defense?
Yeah, as someone who's come through my 40s, I hate Tom Brady for that reason. He's so great, He's unbelievable. I mean, he looks younger every year. He looks like he doesn't age. He's incredible. It really does come back to the amount of work he does, the amount of work he puts in on his body, on his nutrition, on his rest, all that stuff. And then the amount of work he puts in on the football field. That arm is still there, the ability to do things. He is one of those rare people who has gone through their 30s into their 40s, and you feel like there hasn't been a significant drop-off as you watch. And I think that's magnified now when you see the cast around him. And that cast is starting to come together here a little bit. Godwin was injured early on. Gronk was just kind of kicking off some rust. And now you're starting to see those pieces. And we saw that in the 38 straight points that they scored, although the defense scored the first seven of them.
So what was it like for you to now see John Gruden back as the coach and this team that he's put together? Because it's taken a while for them to get, I think, the Gruden's grinders, if you will, that are on the team now.
You're right. The guys like Hunter Renfrow, an all-time Gruden grinder kind of guy, right? I've got a Gruden grinder t-shirt back in some closet here somewhere from over the years. Yeah, watching John's imprint be put on this team, I think took a little while. One, with where the team was and salary cap and what they were able to get for bringing players in at free agency. Everybody tripped over themselves to be critical of the Khalil Mack trade. And Khalil Mack is still a terrific player. But there were some reasons that had to happen, and very few people tripped back over themselves to mention how good that worked out for the Raiders in terms of the personnel on this team and helping to build the team. And I think John and Mike Mayock have built an exceptional team, and they're a great team because they see football from the same lens, through the same lens, with the same ideals for building a team and attracting players. So I really understand why this thing has built, and I think John has really brought Carr to the level where he can be, maximize his abilities by maximizing his confidence in himself. And to hear Carr talk after the game in Kansas City really struck me as kind of a Gruden-raised quarterback, a toughness, a confidence, thrilled with the accomplishment. Carr has really, I think, become a great extension of the head coach. That's such a full extension of what you want your quarterback to be. You want him to continue to be in thought and spirit and execution what your head coach is. And I think philosophically, he understands the play calls that are coming in. There's been the typical tough love that you'll get that we all got when we were around Gruden. And it works. And I think it's really worked for Derek. And I thought we saw that in the confidence and the joy in Derek's accomplishment in his post-game interview in Kansas City. I thought that was like okay, this guy is really connected in the right place with his head coach, and it's cool to see.
Right here, we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll finish up things with Mike Tirico of NBC.
Have you been injured in a car or motorcycle accident and the insurance adjuster will only pay a fraction of your claim, or even worse, nothing at all? That's not right.
What is right? Finding an attorney who will be a fighter for you when you need it most.
At Sam & Ash, we are revolutionizing personal injury representation by focusing on your rights and your recovery.
Call us anytime at 702-820-1234.
Or visit samandash.com.
Sam & Ash, because you deserve what's right.
Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment, or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. I'm sure everybody out there is excited, looking forward to seeing what the Raiders do here against Tom Brady. That'll be what all the fans listening to this podcast will be looking into this week. And Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire.
Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. Welcome back to Takeaways. It's Heidi Fang here. And again, we had Mike Tirico as a special interview this week. You can see part of this interview on Game Day. That is our Sunday show with Vegas Nation. It airs on Sundays ahead of games at 9 a.m. And Mike Tirico, of course, you guys might know him from the Olympics. You might have seen him many times on Monday Night Football with Jon Gruden, as we discussed. But now he's with NBC. And NBC was expected to air this Sunday night contest, but as we know, it's just been postponed. So that game again happening Sunday, 1:05 p.m. Pacific, the start time as of right now, and we will see what happens as more details flow through in the universe about all the tests with the coronavirus pandemic having hit the Raiders. COVID-19, Trent Brown had tested positive again, in case you didn't catch that part. And so 5 starting offensive linemen, which includes Trent Brown, Rodney Hudson, Denzel Good, Gabe Jackson, and Colton Miller, were all sent home, and as well as Jonathan Abram, who had also been part of the contact tracing. So everything right now, we are up in the air, but everybody here at Vegas Nation will keep you updated. But right now, let's continue this interview with Mike Tirico. I was watching an interview back with you on Good Morning Football when you said that you actually felt bad for Gruden at a certain time. I believe it was 2018 when he had just kind of taken over the reins. And it wasn't quite the team then that he wanted to build. But now I think we're starting to see that come together. So do you still feel bad for him?
No, not at all. My man's going to be the king of Vegas here. You know, he'll be as big out in Vegas as Elvis was back in the day. It's a perfect fit. I really think it's a perfect fit, not just for the franchise, but for the city as well. And I think the franchise and the city are a great connection. And so is Oakland. Look, let's not get this wrong. Oakland had an unbelievable connection with its franchise, like very few cities ever had, right? But if there's any place for the Raiders to kind of grow and be this next generation of a great connection of city, fan base, and organization, it's Vegas and the Raiders. And I think John's the perfect front guy for it, because it's not like it's too far off the beaten path to see John embracing this role of face of the franchise, and a little bit of the toughness and the celebrity and a little bit of the attitude that a team from Vegas would have, right? So I don't feel bad for him at all. I think it was not dealing at the same level of ability to acquire players that the other teams had when he first got to Oakland back a couple of seasons ago. I think now it's changed. I think Vegas will certainly be a big part of that. The only shame of this season is that the fans of Vegas can't get in there to physically create a home field and to get behind this team, because I think it would be one of the great home field advantages, even though everybody who's going to come to Vegas is going to make that the road trip they want to go on from other NFL cities. You know, they're playing Cincinnati or Detroit or Jacksonville or Green Bay. All those fans are going to want to be out there. Plus, fans in Vegas over the years have had different teams to root for become their favorite teams. So it's going to be hard to build that local fan base. But seeing the Golden Knights in person, knowing the connection of the Raiders in Las Vegas, knowing John and Derek Carr and the way this team is playing, the young stars on this team, I really think this is going to grow and it's going to turn into a terrific home field advantage once fans can get into that beautiful stadium there.
Yeah, and there you touched on it. I mean, because of this pandemic and everything that's happened around it, no fans at Allegiant. And now Trent Brown has tested positive. He's on the COVID-19 list. And there's kind of a shadow hanging over this game as we prepare for it here. We're talking on a Thursday. So when you look at what's happening right now with the different high-risk things with teams and the protocols that they put together, how do you envision this season playing out? Do you think that the NFL is handling this as they should be right now, as far as all the protocols in place?
Yeah, it's 2020. We all have to figure out different ways. I mean, you're wearing a mask. I'm home, so I'm not, but I've got like 15 right here in my bag. You know, I've got a bag full right down here. So it's like you walk around, every place you go, it's like you've got 17 masks in your car, in the kitchen, on the way out the door, in your bag. You can give masks to like 8 people you're with, right? It's just different. And I think the NFL is just different as well. So the league is trying to figure out what's the best way to continue to play a season while remaining as health and safety conscious as possible. And just like the people who were critical of leadership at the CDC as they adjusted the guidelines for what they're telling us, this is how we should handle this. Same is happening with the NFL. What we have to remember is we're all learning. It's not like there's 5 years of data that we can go back and lean on here. Every month we're learning something else. What's one thing we learned when Tennessee played against Miami? Well, a defensive tackle played 48 snaps for Tennessee against Minnesota, I should say, 48 snaps against Minnesota, and no one on Minnesota tested positive, even though those guys played against them very close quarters on a defensive line. So what does that tell us? To me, it says we've learned something else about how this virus transmits. And it might not transmit if you're not in close contact for that 15-minute span that's talked about. So the league has learned that. So while we watch other teams who you played against a player who was perhaps asymptomatic and transmitting the virus, we're learning that that doesn't mean that whole team is wiped out the next week. So the league keeps learning. And I think they're going to continue to learn. And as they learn, they adjust protocols. It's frustrating for the players, frustrating for the coaches. It's at mass expense when revenues are down because less people are coming to the game. And in Vegas's case, none. I think the league has done as good a job as possible. I really do. Can we sit here and be critical of one or two things? Of course we did. Well, of course we can. But there's no pandemic playbook sitting out there. So I don't have a problem with how the league has handled things to this point.
I wanted to ask if you have your keys to the game. Should, let's say, the Raiders' offensive line, the starting offensive line, not be in place against this Buccaneers defense?
Yeah. Heidi, if all 5 starting offensive linemen were there for the Raiders, that still would be a key. If we watched anything with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay against Tampa last week, we saw that Aaron Rodgers was on his back way too much. You must protect your quarterback. Todd Bowles has an aggressive mindset as a defensive coordinator. He's going to cause havoc, get pressure on the quarterback, and mean quite simply, your offensive line's got to play well. And if compromised in any way without one player, maybe multiple players, that would put the Raiders at a distinct disadvantage. And on the other side, I think, as I said before, Brady and this offense are getting more comfortable. Tampa played a remarkable game last week. No penalties, no sacks, no turnovers. A rarity in the NFL. So if they're not going to make any mistakes, your defense has to be assignments down. They've got to make some big plays happen, and they can't let Brady put together 10 or 12 play drives. Sometimes in the NFL, you say, well, let them march down the field. They'll screw it up at some point. Brady usually doesn't. So I think it really puts pressure on the Raiders on both sides of the ball to execute very well, because I think this Tampa team is coming off its best game and has built a confidence that they didn't have in the month of September.
Okay, so I just want to ask here as we start to wrap up, what was your favorite memory of John Gruden, Monday Night Football booth, you two working together?
Well, on air, it probably is a tie between the time that we're in Philadelphia when Chip Kelly had sports science brought into the Eagles' entire franchise approach, and John asked for a blender in the booth, and he's making a shake in the middle of the third quarter of a blowout football game, and when he started lifting kettlebells as well in yes. the booth. So those are probably the couple on-air favorites. But my real favorite is off-air, all the time on our Monday Night Football bus, going town to town, hotel to stadium, game to hotel, you name it, and just talking football, laughing, watching games. Sunday nights after we'd visit with the road team, sitting down at the hotel bar to have a burger and watch the start of the Monday night game, or the Sunday night game, I should say, and get ready for our Monday night game. Great, great, great memories, great friendship. And, you know, we're of course, neutral. We're not rooting for anybody when we're broadcasting. It's just part of the job, like John showed us when his brother was in there coaching. But you can't help but feel good when a friend does well. And John, Cindy, and the whole family, Gruden, they're people who I consider good friends.
Was there any chance that you had an opportunity to speak with him this week leading up to this game?
We text most every week, if not every week, every other week. I did text him earlier this week. I'm going to try to catch up with him before the Sunday night game. But it's always fun to connect. And if I see something that happens in a game that's part of my education of being around John over the years, I always will point it out. I always like to touch base with John, find out what tricks he has up his sleeve for the first 15 plays. I know he's very impatient those couple hours before a game starts. So those things, usually he'll text back and forth about those during the week. It's neat. And when I show up out of football season, like at the Kentucky Derby, the Indy 500, and John's walking by a TV and he sees me, he'll shoot me a quick text. So that's the fun part. So I'll do that this week and most every week, just find a way to stay in touch. And it's never really about, hey, what's the key to the game or anything like that. It's just more staying connected with a friend than anything else.
That was Mike Tirico, and I want to thank everybody so much for listening to this special edition episode here, bonus episode of the Takeaways edition of the Vegas Nation podcast. And everybody, you can catch me on Twitter at Heidi Fang. I want to thank everybody so much for listening. If you haven't yet already, please hit subscribe. I love hearing from everybody as well. So you can always catch me at hfang@reviewjournal.com if you want to email me, get some thoughts, things like that happening. So just anything you need to know, you just send it out there to me in the universe, and somehow I'll get back to you. I promise. So thanks everyone again so much for listening. I'll be back next week.
Finding the right personal injury attorney in the bright lights of Las Vegas used to be as tough as finding free parking on the Strip.
Now, both have changed. At Sam & Ash, you'll get experienced lawyers who care about you and only you.
We've recovered a total of over $400 million for our clients.
And while no one can guarantee a result in your case, experience like ours matters.
Call us anytime, 702-820-8255. 1234.
Or visit samandash.com.
Because you deserve what's right.
They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First-time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com.